So happy to have with us right now a great friend from ESPN, the one and only Chris Mortensen, back on the show. Chris, how you doing, man?
Well, my mom is glad there's the one and only Chris Mortensen.
I like it.
She turned 88 years old last week, Vic.
And, God bless her.
And then she, for 50 years, I'll take it back, for 35 or 40 years, she has claimed that I'm responsible for every one of her gray hairs out of her four boys.
That sounds very familiar to me, too. So, Chris, let's talk about rookie quarterbacks, big topic of conversation in Cleveland, but really throughout the NFL, and the debut of the five of them this past weekend. Just your thoughts on we know the story that Robert Griffin III was head and shoulders above the rest, but what does it say to you just about the whole group and how you see it panning out, and how, where does it go from here also for Griffin?
Mick, I think we need to let it unfold. We all agreed, I think most people agreed, that when Robert Griffin went to the Redskins, we said he's got the best chance of success, especially early on. Not only is he a very gifted guy, I mean, and a true franchise quarterback. We looked at this draft and said there are two true franchise quarterbacks, one being Andrew Luck, one being Robert Griffin III. But he went to the Redskins. And, you know, anybody who knows when Mike Shanahan, and I'll say his son Kyle Shanahan, because Peyton Manning told me that when he met with Kyle and Mike right after this trade was made with the Rams to get Griffin's rights, that he came away extremely impressed with Kyle Shanahan, who's now the offensive coordinator there. And you talk about putting in that scheme, that system with a quarterback that really fits the Mike Shanahan prototype, which is, you know, go back to Elway, go back to Jay Cutler even, guys that can make every play in the playbook, guys that have mobility, and their running game. I mean, hey, listen, Robert Griffin III only threw it 26 times the other day. I mean, he made some great throws. And their defense is better, certainly than the other teams for the most part. So I think he was set up for success. At the same time, still totally shocked at what happened in New Orleans the other day. And the other rookie quarterbacks, I think they probably came out about the way we thought for the most part. You know, I don't think there are any big surprises.
Well, one of the things, of course, that Browns fans want to hear and want to know is that, okay, Brandon Whedon couldn't have gotten much worse for a rookie in his first game. And we know it's, you know, to think that he won't have other games like that in the course of a career is unrealistic. But just from week one to week two, and knowing what you know of Whedon, what's your sense of how he can bounce back from that?
Well, we've lost our patience with quarterbacks, which didn't used to be the case. And one thing we have to remember, one thing that I was told by defensive coordinators after last year's success of that rookie quarterback class is, you guys, meaning us, the media, all made a big deal of how this lockout was going to hurt the rookie quarterbacks. He goes, it hurt us as defensive coordinators because we have a bunch of new parts too, and we couldn't install a lot of our defense, or certainly the sophisticated parts of our defense that normally would confuse a rookie quarterback. Let's see what happens this year. Now, the rules still favor quarterbacks, for the most part. As far as Brandon Whedon goes, listen, I've been around him a couple summers, both times at the Manning passing camp. You know, it was kind of weird because I always said, man, he throws it good, but I always said, man, but he's going to be 28 years old when it, you know. So I probably didn't give Brandon his due. Now, he does have an adjustment coming from the Oklahoma State offense. I mean, I know some of the basic concepts out of that offense and how they run it, and there's going to be a transition. You know, and the other thing is, when you're playing with young receivers, you know, that's even more of a transition. I mean, he doesn't have the veteran receivers that Robert Griffin III does. He doesn't have Reggie Wayne like Andrew Luck does.
Right.
So I would say we have to be patient. I don't like what I've seen from Whedon. I think it's an offshoot of just the adjustment that he has to make going from that particular offense into the NFL. And the thing you want to see as a Browns fan is that that it gets better, and that it gets better, especially by the midseason, and then you see it, the arrow pointing up. But let's remember this. I think it's Phil Simms who told me. He goes, even the so-called elite quarterbacks have about four average or stinker games per year, and that's when they're in their prime.
Right. Right. Chris Mortensen is joining us from ESPN here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What surprised you the most about week one and maybe a storyline, I guess, that you're going to take from that? What, good or bad?
Well, you know, obviously, let's flip it over on the – I thought the biggest surprise, obviously, on the good and bad level was really happening in New Orleans with the Redskins and the Saints. And, you know, maybe – we shouldn't have been that surprised with the Redskins. But on the Saints, the one thing, you know, and just talking with some good people who have been in the league, evaluating them, somebody even going into the season said, you guys are not taking into account that the defensive talent that the Saints have is average to below average, that their defensive line is average, their linebackers are average, or below average, or secondary is pretty much in the same spot. And so, you know, and then we've just kind of a tendency to say, well, they've got Drew Brees, and so they won't need Sean Payton. Well, I think I think, you know, that's probably a bigger deal than we thought, but we never thought about the talent level, that the talent level on defense might be, you know, one that doesn't really lend itself to a championship for them. But it's only week one, so we'll see. I mean, I thought that the Cowboys opened my eyes a little bit. I didn't, you know, I wasn't high on the Cowboys, wasn't down on them, but I, you know, after watching them against the Giants, I could see where their defense has improved, and you know, that they're going to be in that thing. And then the Packers, everybody's talking, and I think it's legit. I mean, you know, last year when the Giants went into Lambeau in the playoffs, it's a game I thought the Giants would win. I mean, I just thought the matchups favored them. And, you know, they have deficiencies. We just think these teams don't have deficiencies. And playing the 49ers is no fun. I mean, even though the Giants beat the 49ers to get to the Super Bowl last year, if you could go ask those guys on the side, would you like to play the 49ers this week?
Yeah.
It'd be like, no thanks. Can we pick somebody else?
So
I think that this game with the Bears, this is not a gimme for the Packers, even though they've kind of had a good run against the Bears here lately. This is not a game I'm automatically putting a W under. And what happens if they lose? What happens if they go 0-2 at home?
Yeah, that's what I was going to – and 0-2 period and 0-2 at home, their chances of being a playoff team, and history shows us, are very low.
Nil. I'm not big on that 0-1, that 1-0 mark, at 0-1 mark. 0-2, I have to admit, I've had to pay a little bit more attention. But I think 0-2 at home would be even more alarming. And at the same time, acknowledging that they played really good teams and they are playing really good teams here.
You know, and what's happening in Green Bay, Chris, is kind of you look at the broad picture of this league where things are with the idea that you've got to have a great quarterback, not even a good quarterback anymore, but a great quarterback to have success. And I guess it's presumed that you have other solid pieces, but you don't necessarily have to have a great team. And the Packers rode that last year with Aaron Rodgers. It got him so far. It didn't get him to another Super Bowl championship, but we know that formula, and maybe we know the flaw of it now. Now it takes me to Denver, where the Broncos have Peyton Manning. Manning looked, you know, is pretty close to or reasonably close to vintage Manning in his first official game with the Broncos last weekend. But do you think that's enough for Denver to be a contender?
Well, they'll be a contender. I mean, you know, now if they go on the road and beat Atlanta, I think they're going to be better than I thought they'd be. I mean, I had them grabbing a wild card spot this year. I actually had the Chiefs win the division. But I felt like it could flip-flop. And then, you know, Peyton Manning, look, his arm is still – you know, it still isn't at the strength level of a couple years ago. Everybody says he had four neck surgeries. He actually had a neck surgery before the 2010 season and played very well. But, you know, to me, it's just the way he operated the game as a quarterback and just gave everybody a lesson. But the thing about the Broncos is that their offensive line, I think, is better than what he played with in Indianapolis. They have I think Willis McGahee has surprised everybody having this much tread left on the tire. They run the ball. Kiefer Manning is just educating and getting these young receivers caught up. Because I think playing on the road, playing in this dome, the Georgia Dome on Monday night, you know, maybe the young receivers could struggle a little bit more, and I'm sure that's what Peyton's working hard on. So, And their defense is a good defense. It's not a dominating defense, but it is a good defense. So there's no reason to think that the Broncos cannot be a playoff team. I think what we want to know is if they get better as the season moves on, are we now putting them in the class of, you know, the Ravens, the Patriots, you know, the Steelers, obviously they're already in their class. The Houston Texans, who I think are one of those teams. So I think that's what we're looking at with Peyton Manning and the Broncos, just how good are they going to be? Are they going to be a true Super Bowl contender? Because, you know, Tim Tebow and the Broncos were not a Super Bowl contender.
Right, right. Well, sticking with that theme of quarterbacking as it applies to the Browns division, to the AFC North, we saw Joe Flacco very impressive in that opener against the Bengals, and Andy Dalton not so much in the first game of his second season in the NFL. We just talked about Peyton Manning, and he had the duel with Ben Roethlisberger. He got the better of that one. But as you look at this division, is Flacco, did that make a statement to you that Flacco and Cam Cameron's offense are going to be a different deal here, that it's a more explosive Ravens team, and look out for that?
Yeah, I think so. By the way, I didn't think Andy Dalton played that poorly. So, I mean, I always look at how the ball comes out of his hands and whether he's thrown it well and the circumstances. That's a tough place to play in. But as far as Flacco goes, I mean, I know that they talked about using the no huddle last year, but then they, you know, because of the lockout, because of having a rookie receiver in Torrey Smith and a couple young tight ends, you know, they just felt like, okay, we'll run the conventional offense. Now, they've had the offseason to put it in. They went and got Jacoby Jones as a slot receiver. That helps out Anquan Boldin. Torrey Smith is probably going to be, you know, pretty close to a Pro Bowl receiver. Ray Rice, we know what he is. Taking care of his contract was important to them. They think they fixed the offensive line. I guess where I'm going with this is, Vic, for the first time, I think I can actually project that this becoming where the offense is equal or greater than the Ravens defense, which absolutely puts them in a very short list of Super Bowl contenders in the AFC.
Oh. All right. Well, great breakdown from you as always, Chris. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you a little bit later in the season, man.
Sounds good, Vic. Look forward to it. Take care.
He is Chris Mortensen from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. More is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.